Jeez. Day two, you guys can do better than that? Come on. Day two, how's everybody doing here in Vegas? Okay, I'm not sure which one was lamer, so we'll just move on. Hey, if you want the slides, I've PDF'd them and put them here, okay? That way, if I skip ahead some slides and focus more on kind of the demos, which I do tend to do, you've got the slides as backup, okay? Great. So welcome to SPC 2012, and this is going to be an introduction to Windows Azure. My assumption, how many of you are developers out there? Good, most of you, that's great. I will spend some time in Visual Studio today, okay? I hope you're all comfortable. While this is an introductory, like introductions in the title, I would see this as more of a 300-level session, okay? Because we will walk through code. It won't be super rocket science code, but it'll give you the gist. And I really want to, you know, target doing a couple things today, really bring out where Windows Azure natively integrates with SharePoint and the opportunities for you as a developer to exploit Windows Azure. So I'll cover off in a couple different areas. We're also doing a workshop on Thursday afternoon as a post-con if today is just not enough for you, if you need to get more. Myself, Paul Stubbs, Donovan Follett, and Rob Howard are going to kind of walk through a whole bunch of areas, just do kind of, you know, demo after demo, showing you kind of in a story on a workshop or in a workshop on Thursday afternoon. So my name is Steve Fox. I work at Microsoft. I work in a group called Consulting Services. So on a day-to-day basis, I work with customers architecting, designing. In some cases, we have to code. And so we do a lot of late. We do a lot of SharePoint and Azure type engagements. And they're a lot of fun, especially given the new cloud app model. So again, the objectives for today: how does Windows Azure natively integrate in SharePoint 2013? You got a taste. Presumably, everybody here was at the keynote, right? Nobody's sleeping in, sleeping hangovers off, right? So you were there. Now, the point is, Scott Guthrie showed you a couple of simple ways. We'll kind of go one level deeper. We'll start there and go deep. And then, obviously, I want to demonstrate a number of different ways in which you can build and deploy apps using the new cloud-hosted model. Okay? Now I'm just going to get my short-term memory out here and put it beside me. Okay. So my agenda, why care? Who cares, right? This thing called Windows Azure. I started talking about this 2 years ago at, I believe, TechEd, or SPC, one of the two. And it was interesting. We had a full room. We started talking about how SharePoint 2010 can leverage, at that point, what was purely a PaaS play. When I say PaaS, I mean platform as a service. What I mean by that is if you're a developer, you build a, you know, a service or some ASP.NET app or a database, and you put it in some cloud environment, which invariably is a data center, often some region of the world, which has SQL Server or IIS or Windows operating system that's running your code. Okay, that's what I mean. And we started talking about it a couple years ago, but now it's interesting because now it's natively built in. It's very exciting, the things that you can do. And I'll spend the bulk of the time today talking about that integration. But first, let's talk about why care, okay? You're here for a few minutes. You don't want to waste your time. The key thing here to realize, there's multiple ways in which we can take this thing called SharePoint and integrate it with this thing called Windows Azure, okay? On the bottom is probably where a lot of you are today. You're building farms, you're building services, servers. Some of you probably have a SharePoint server underneath your desk. Who is victim to that? There's a few of you guys, right? And that's an unmanaged environment, but the point is you've set this up yourself. It's sitting on hardware. How much time did it take you to set that up, right? Quite a bit of time. And so the premise of, as you think about moving up this kind of hockey stick here, the curve, is that when you go to the second level, you can take that server and literally lift and shift it and put it into, you know, the cloud, quote unquote, which essentially represents building a farm out in Windows Azure such that you can have this fully functional SharePoint farm that lives and breathes in the cloud. Now, there's certain scenarios where we would recommend using that and certain that we wouldn't recommend using it, right? Typically, what we're doing as Microsoft, we're saying check out Office 365 first because that's fully managed, full disaster recover, full patched, all that good stuff for you, right? And then there's scenarios like SharePoint Fizz, disaster recovery on a farm, these types of things, IaaS might make sense for you, okay? So there's a bit of an evaluation process. You look at this curve. But the last one, Office 365 is really where we're going to focus on today, which is this cloud-hosted app model, right? So we're going to look at a couple things. We'll look at Azure websites, and we'll look at Azure cloud services, and look at how those two parts of the platform integrate back into the cloud-hosted model, okay? So there's three reasons why to care, and these are important reasons because, first of all, when we think about server-side code, we're thinking about a strategic direction for Microsoft to say, hey, look, developer community, you guys have been putting code on SharePoint Server for a number of years. We opened the kimono, right, with 2010. We said, hey, full Clark launch. You can take all your code. You can run it. You know, you can run it at elevated privileges if you want to, right? But what we've done is we've said you can do all these things with server-side code. Now, what was happening is that made upgrading difficult. In some cases, developers were writing, you know, not necessarily malicious code that they wanted to, you know, voluntarily put there, but there's code that was ill-performant, right? Or it had bugs in it. And so what was happening was, and is, we go in a lot of these cases, code is actually bringing down SharePoint servers. So that begs the question, how can we, you know, maybe differentiate, get the code off of the server, make it easy to upgrade? Especially when we think about this cloud model, every 90 days, you think about an update. You don't want to be thinking about code updates every 90 days, do you? Right? And so the point is, server-side code, you know, is really we want to get away from that and move into this cloud-hosted model. And that brings us to native integration, right? Because you can think, great, hey, we're in this cloud now. SharePoint 2013, cloud-hosted models, native integration. The world is a fun place, right? And as you'll see, in part, yes, in the auto-hosted cloud app model, which I'm sure everybody here has now seen, right? For the most part, anybody who hasn't seen the auto-hosted model. Okay, so most of you have. Good. The provider hosted, I don't think, I haven't seen too many sessions dealing with that. That's a very interesting beast, right? Because you can use the full access, all the different features of Windows Azure built into that one app model, right? So it's much more expansive. And of course, there's PHP and Ruby and the J word, we won't say Java. But all these different other web technologies that you can also build into that provider hosted model. The point is, it's a much more open model. And then lastly, if you think about extensibility, it just makes extensibility much easier because it's not just about the code that you're integrating with your singular web part. It's about taking a service and projecting it. It's about taking a service and reusing it, okay? And so these in my mind, you may have other reasons why you care or don't care, but these are the reasons why I think, you know, we should care. This is a crazy slide. I put this up here because this really is an interesting way to break out Windows Azure. Five pieces, really at the top level, five pieces. Cloud services, virtual machines, media services, websites, and mobile services. There's a PDF on the web. The reason I put this up here, because I think this is a great representation of all these services. It's a stupid slide because there's so many little tiny boxes and people can't see it at the back, but it's a great, I'll put this on my blog so you can download it if you want, but it's a great little kind of just really quick ingestion of all the different platform capabilities, okay? And if you look at this, there's various places where you might use Azure with SharePoint and other places where you may not, right? Mobile services, that's mainly for Windows 8, and so on and so forth, okay? All right, let's jump to our first demo. So I'm more inclined to kind of show you things. It's okay if you have questions. If I'm looking down, shout it out. I don't mind an interactive session, okay? All right, good. Let's kill the PowerPoint here. Okay, first of all, basically if you go to, let's go here in our browser, Microsoft.com, Windows Azure, you can go here to WindowsAzure.com. If you've never opened up an account, you can go here, get a free trial. 90 days, right? But there's an interesting thing here. The websites you can try. We have these multi-tenant free websites. They're basically free, right? Even though you may have a paid account where you're paying nothing because you're using free websites, you can still get access to free features, okay? So once you've signed up and gone through the process and now you've got your account, who has an account set up, an Azure account? Okay, I'm looking at roughly 25 or maybe 20% of the room. So the rest of you, you know, it's very simple. Go back here. You see this guy right there? Try it free. Let me just call that out for you. That right there. Okay? fright free and you're home. All right? How much does it cost? I'm going to answer that in the Q&A. All right, so moving on. When we look at and you get your Windows Azure subscription set up, you can see that on the left-hand side, as I mentioned in that one awful slide, there's a bunch of services that you can use. Now, sidebar, the reality of the world right now with regard to the cloud is that everybody's thinking about IaaS, infrastructure as a service, virtual machines. That is not the future, okay? The future is PaaS. Why do I say that? When you look at these capabilities, when you look at the amount of work that's going into the cloud, there has to be a fundamental effort to give developers services such that you can new up a file and have a reference to either a REST API or some NuGet package, whatever, and you can just get on with your day. That is the future of the cloud, okay? In reality, moving and building farms and managing them, that's kind of an administrator thing, right? And it may not be the easiest thing to set up. There takes some configuration. It will take 3 years, 4 years up for us to get there. That's where the market is. But that's where the market is going, or so Gartner tells us. But we're seeing that. If I look at my customer pipeline, the one we deal with on a daily basis, it's split down the middle. It's very interesting, the trend towards PaaS. But in this case, inside of our Windows Azure portal, you can see we've got these things called websites, virtual machines. And again, this is where I can create a virtual machine. Paul Stubbs is doing a talk on this today. Mobile services, mainly for Windows 8. Cloud services. Now, one of the key questions I get is, hey, I've got something called websites, and I've got something called cloud services, but I can build an ASP.NET web role or a web app, and I can put it in both. What's the difference? So if we think about websites, Windows Azure Websites is a more recent addition, okay, specifically for websites or web apps. This is where you can get multi-tenant free apps. So if I go back up here and click on my websites, let me just see here, mode free. Should I just call that out, just in case you don't see that? So you can get started for free, right? Now, the types of apps that you can build, here's one. This is an app I built for a recent internal Microsoft conference. And I was playing around with the types of things that I could use, right? Here I've got an MVC app. It's got a JSON payload coming back and dynamic HTML5. So there's some interesting things that you can do with Azure. Now, here's, to me, where the value really comes into play for SharePoint developers. To date, what have you guys been relegated to? ASP.NET, right? Which is great. There's lots of controls and things like that that you can use. But let's enter in now the world of REST, OData, the world of MVVM patterns, MVC. There's a heck of a lot that you can do that's very interesting, very compelling, and really adds some interesting value to SharePoint. Not only from a usability perspective in terms of very quick to create, rapid prototype, get out there, but also from the API perspective to tie it back. And we'll talk about OAuth and APIs and things like that a little later on as we get into a little more code. But in general, I think it's very exciting. Okay, so that was just a quick thing on websites. Cloud services, conversely, is about building WCF services, right? Or worker roles. That's traditional, the function of the cloud services. And so it's bringing together things like service bus and all these different types of services, and they call it generically cloud services. SQL database, here this is if I want to build a SQL server equivalent, which is, you know, it's a subset of the SQL server functionality and a set of features, and it's in the cloud. Here I can go ahead and click people. That's a database you'll see me connect up to. And you'll see here that it's got some performance data, some information about when I'm hitting it. I can go ahead and get my connection string. I'll leave that for now. But I can also manage this directly in the portal. So for example, here down the left-hand side, I've got overview, administration design. So I can actually go ahead and look at my tables. I can see, okay, well, I've got a table here called applicant. I can basically edit this guy here and begin to add data and save it in this nice designer experience. Now, of course, this is different from your usual SQL Studio management, but there's another place where you can actually do your data-driven type activities from within the browser. And you'll see more of this, right, with the cloud. The cloud means you have a wider set of choices when it comes to tools. both rich client tools. What I mean by that is Visual Studio IDEs or SQL Server Studio Management Tools accompaniments, things like that, to in-browser tools. Like I showed yesterday at a session, like the NAPA tools, right, for development, rapid application prototyping, things like this where we've got management capabilities built into the SQL Azure or Windows Azure SQL database in the cloud. So that's just kind of a quick tour there. If we go back just to finish off some of the things we have here, we can go down here. We've got storage, so it's non-relational storage. If I want to build a farm in the cloud, I would probably use a network to keep that farm intact and maybe connect it back to my on-premises instances, and service bus for things like queues and push notifications. And of course, media services, which is an interesting one, where I can basically build a media streaming application. And this has all these APIs, where if you see here, I've got this WMV that I've put up. I've created a media service. And inside the media service, I've got some content associated with it. And literally, I could stream this content into my SharePoint site. Stephen Goulet is doing a talk on this, I believe, later on today. But definitely something you should check out. And here you can see that I got this, basically this interview source. I've encrypted or I've published it. I've got a publish URL such that I can take that URL and stream it. And basically, Windows Azure Media Services provides these capabilities for me. Okay? So for those of you who have not got a Windows Azure account, that was your 7-minute tour of Windows Azure. We typically give 5 days for developers to go through and train you on the entire platform. Okay? You're all professionals now. How does it feel? I deserve a raise, right? You're saying that to yourself, not me. Okay, so let's jump back to the slides for just a second and move forward. Because I think, I wanted to build an Azure application. So let's do this. So I'm going to go ahead, new project, new HIPAA file here. Cloud is where you're going to find the Windows Azure tools. I'll go ahead and I will say my first Azure app. I'll go ahead, click OK. Now the interesting thing here, as I said, there's various types of features built into Azure. Here I can go ahead and build, a legacy ASP.NET app. Or I can build an MVC 4 or 3, a WCF service if I wanted to. There's many different types of things that you can do. Let's go ahead and we'll build an MVC 4 app. Actually, let's do a WCF service because I'm going to come back and do one later on. And I go ahead and click OK because I'm sure many of you right now are probably still building WCF and SOAP services, although most of you are probably looking at web APIs as the next generation, right? If not already there, yeah? So here we are. We have this service now. This is basically all the plumbing. On the right-hand side, let's call out a couple things. On the right-hand side, I've got a cloud app, and I've got a WCF service. Okay? Now, if you go ahead and just, I'll pull these apart here. This is my cloud app. This is my WCF service. I can add all the goo and all the code inside there, but the important thing here to remember is this is my cloud, basically, wrapper application. It's going to take my WCF service, and it's going to put it in Azure and allow you to call it and then use it in some application, right? And it does that by allowing me to go, hey, I'm going to go publish this guy and go through this wizard, next, and this is my Windows Azure MSDN subscription that connects me to my portal, which is over here. And literally, if I go back into my cloud services, this is ultimately where I publish it to. Okay? That's the connection as a developer. I build in my prototype. I can build in TFS, whatever. And then I'm actually pushing into this data center that runs it. And the question is, okay, well, what does that look like, right? If I go ahead and let's see, let's open up, let's kill that for a second. No. Let's go back down here. This is a service you can see here, spcpeopleservice.cloudup.net. Any one of you in this room could build an app right now using that service. Please don't give me a denial of service attack on it. But the point is, you could use this service right now in an app because it's completely published and open. But the point is, I've built and deployed a WCF service into the cloud. Okay? I could use this in my provider-hosted app if I wanted to. I could use this in a legacy 2010 SharePoint app. Could be a Silverlight app, God forbid. Could be anything, right? Okay? Sorry. Did I say that out loud? Okay. So that's kind of your first app, right? So let's jump back to the slides for just a second. And we're going to be building lots more apps, so don't worry. Now, if we think about 2013 in Windows Azure, okay, you've probably seen some auto-hosted model. There's basically two models, all right? And if we think about this slide as, okay, ground me in how I should think about Windows Azure in relation to cloud apps. The first one is auto-hosted. We know that when you build and deploy an auto-hosted app, part of that app goes into Azure, part of it goes into SharePoint. What you may not know is when you build and deploy it into Azure, you don't have access to that Azure app, other than through the functional capabilities of when you deploy it. You can't access the SQL Server, the SQL Azure instance, okay? It gets deployed to the kind of this private Office 365 domain. You will have some restrictions on data, okay? I think in preview it was a gig. It's going to be increased in GA. I'm not sure what it is. Then provider hosted comes in, and that's kind of where you can look at that and think, all right, if I were to think about, you know, connecting and what I could do with that, when it comes to the provider hosted model, you have a little bit more. So auto hosted, I can build an app, I can tap into Windows Azure SQL database, or I can tap into the websites, the Azure websites. Okay, I've showed you both of those in the portal experience, right? And so even though you may not be able to tie directly into Microsoft's Office 365 version of Windows Azure where you deploy an auto-hosted app, you still know you have those same capabilities. Okay? So then when we look at this, there's ways of packaging this up and deploying it. But in the provider hosted, you can see that there's much more available to you. You're hosting it. Okay? That's your responsibility. Understand that. Auto-hosted is Microsoft's responsibility. Provider hosted is yours. And the reason I say that is because you're building on your own domain, you're hosting on your own domain at that point, such that you could use PHP or other. Okay? Is that fairly straightforward? Good. Any questions so far before I go any further? Yes. Is the provider hosted same as what? Is it the same as the shared model in Windows Azure? Oh, you just want to use the free stuff, don't you? So the question is the provider-hosted model the same as the shared? And the simple answer is no. You have much. So if you were to look at this slide here, if I wanted to, I could use the free website and integrate it as a provider-hosted app. So yes, but knowing that there's a much more broader set of capabilities opening up around it, so the provider-hosted app could be multiple cloud services tied together through an ASP.NET app. It could be a web API. It could be so much more. Not free. There's a point at which Microsoft has to charge. Our shareholders will get very angry if we don't charge at some point. They're okay up to a point, right? And I know the good thing about free is it gets you started, okay? And you'll see this, the cloud model is introducing a new way of thinking about pricing. Hopefully that answers your question. The gentleman behind you? It's not free, so it's built into your online services billing. Okay, you're not going to get two separate bills. So that's a good thing about auto-hosted, okay? All right, so moving forward, I'm going to show you three ways. I'm not going to show you SPS, SharePoint Server Extensibility. I have a book on it. You can go buy the book, 2010-centric. It's the same as in 2013, okay, fundamentally. Do the same sort of stuff. So I'm not going to cover that. I've done it before. I will cover three things. Client app web part, auto-hosted app, and provider-hosted app. And we're going to roll through three kind of sequential demos and kind of show you how to do this, okay? All right. First one, this is going to be the high-level architecture of this really interesting app. We are going to build an ASP.NET web form, okay? We're then going to publish it to Windows Azure in the free website. And then what we're going to do is we're going to tie it back into SharePoint using the client app web part. It's vaguely interesting, but it's a place to start. You will do this just to get started, okay? So let's go ahead, and we will jump over here. All right, so I'm going to go File New, Visual Studio 2012. I have the SharePoint tools. These are the, I think, the Preview 2 tools, and I have the 1.8 SDK, Azure SDK installed, okay, in case you're wondering where I'm operating. All right. In fact, what I'm going to do now is I'm just actually going to create an empty form. get my peeps, and we'll go ahead and click OK. Now, you're probably going, okay, hold on, you didn't create the cloud app there. You're using just a generic web app. And you can absolutely do that, right? So there's two ways of publishing to Azure. The one way is I could use the cloud app model and publish into my subscription. Another way, for example, if I go back here into my, let's say, my web services up here, my websites, I can go ahead, click a new web service, quick create, and say, get my peeps, and that will resolve. You can see that it resolved to OK. I have different regions where I can actually deploy that. We'll say West US. I can create the website, and this is multi-tenant, so get my peeps is free. It should be created very, very quickly. Now, the nice thing is basically what happens is when you create this website in Windows Azure, it basically creates this nice generic website for you. And then you just build an app and you deploy against that website subscription you just created. Okay? And then what we're doing is we're just going to tie that back. Okay? So I can go back here, go into my Get My Peeps, go into here. Let's actually download the published profile. And then we'll say save. Okay, we'll just cancel that. Let's make sure that it actually came here. Get my peeps, there it is there. So I'm gonna go back to my app here. This is a generic app. Let me do this a little bit. If you don't mind, I'm actually going to just tune down the font size because I can't see this up here very well. So we'll turn it down to like 14. So hopefully you in the backs, you can still see that and I'll be able to see it as well. Okay, there we go. So I'm going to do this. Let's go ahead and add, let's see, an in-memory data item. We'll go ahead, XML file. We'll call it people, XML, awesomeness. Let's go ahead and view my toolbox where I keep all my cheat stuff. There we go. That should be good, except for that. So this is basically my representation of data. You know, I could go out to query a SQL Azure data source if I wanted to. Simply put, this is our first app. We're going to keep it simple. I'm going to go into my default.aspx. Let's look at the code behind first. All right. And let's go into our page load, and we'll just create this guy here. Now, you can see here, there's a couple things here. Let's just resolve that. This is fairly simple code, right? We're calling the getPeopleData method. When the page loads, it's going to go down, it's going to query my people.xml file, and it's just going to populate a grid people data, which doesn't yet exist, so we'll go over to my default.aspx. We'll go in here, we'll kill this, we'll go up to data, we will add, let's see, a grid view, call that, and my peeps, okay, with a capital P. All right, we'll build that up. It should succeed. And, of course, if we F5 it, it's going to run locally. There is a cloud emulator, so you can run Windows Azure apps locally. Right? And at this point, what should happen is when the page loads, that method will call. It will load the XML data, and there you go. Fancy, fancy. My peeps are right there. Now, the thing you got to notice, though, is we're operating off a local host with a port number, right? So we're still operating in the context of our local machine. The goal for us is to get this out and then tie it into our SharePoint Office 365 instance, okay? So the next thing we should be able to do here is go ahead and say, well, I want to publish this bad boy. I'm going to import my profile, which is Get My Peeps, which you saw me pull down. I'm going to click Next, and notice a couple things here. If there is a data source or a database that I'm connecting to, I need to make sure it's there in my default connection, okay? And if you are the type of person that you like to build like code-only entity frameworks, that's the way I like to do it, because I like to kind of tap into the automated entity framework features. You make sure you have that there, and it will kind of build for you, right? So here we go. Click Next and Publish. Typically, it takes a minute or two to publish. The websites are very, very quick. Depending on where you are publishing and what part of the world, it might take a little longer. If you're publishing to a Hong Kong data center, expect a minute or two. All right, yes, sir? So that's a great question. So the question is exactly what is going on right now? Where is it placing it? Why is it doing it? So basically what's happening, right now I'm prototyping on my laptop. We're here in this room. My laptop's here in this room. Do you remember when I built the website? If we go back into my websites here, I built the website over here. The website, remember I put the region as West US? It's a data center located just outside of Seattle. And so what's going on right now is I'm packaging up my code. I'm deploying it to that server in the data center just outside of Seattle such that I can call it and run it. Okay? So what's happening hopefully now is you can see this thing is automatically being deployed, and literally every one of you in this room should be able to type this in and get to the site. Does anyone want to try it to call my bluff? Yes. Imagine, so like, you know how I have my window, I've got Windows Server 2008 R2 here with IIS. Imagine the exact same environment, sitting in a data center. It's pushing everything in the right places on that machine. Okay? And now the key thing is that you will come across this. If there is an assembly that is not put in Azure or supported in Azure or kind of living there by default, there's one thing you need to make sure you do. Go back into your Visual Studio here, and you'll see, let's go view properties window. In the references, sometimes you'll see that, like, this copy true will be set to false. And make sure, maybe some cases it's trial and error, but sometimes if there's a problem, it could be because the DLL hasn't been deployed because you haven't got it copied to true, copied to local as true. Okay? Not a major deal. As you walk through the tutorials in the SDK, they should tell you which ones live natively in Azure and which ones you need to make sure you kind of package up and deploy. But to your point, all that stuff gets quote-unquote gacked in the Windows Azure server. Okay? So the next question becomes, hopefully that answered your question. Okay. So if we go back to our site here, we now have this site, Get My Peeps, right? And we really want to get this into Windows Azure or SharePoint. So what we're going to do here is we're going to add a new project, all right? And we're going to say apps for SharePoints. And this is going to be, say, Peeps in SharePoint, lowercase n. Click OK. And I think that's okay. Let's just make sure that's the right site. No, it's not. You have to make sure that's the right site. Okay. The nice thing here is I can debug remotely. I'll say auto-hosted for now. And remember, when you create an auto-hosted app, it creates two pieces for you. It creates the .app and the web. All right. And see, I'm actually going to just collapse these so you can see all the projects in here now. We have Get My Peeps, which is my web app. We've got Peeps in SharePoint, which is my dot app. And we've got Peeps in SharePoint Web. Let's kill that. We don't need it, okay? The reason we don't need it, and I just need to go back here once more and pull this, is because when we go back here into Get My Peeps, Get Peeps in SharePoint, we're going to add a new item. We're going to add this guy here, client web part. This is going to be Peeps. And select a URL. Very, very simple. Nice thing is it sets it up all for you. Then what we have to do is you have to do a couple things. Let's make sure that we can actually have permissions. Now, the nice thing about, here's what I really like about 2013. You can actually have an app and dictate the permissions of that app through OAuth. Okay? It's really nice because what you're effectively doing is you can separate out what a user can do and what the app can do. So, for example, if your app has read-write capabilities but your user has read, they can't write using the app. Very, very cool stuff, and this is all contained within the OAuth tokens. Very cool. I know Rob Howard's doing a talk on this, OAuth, but I would encourage you to definitely get your head stuck into OAuth because it's, you need to understand it, but the capabilities are very, very cool. Okay, so here I have my web read. Now, of course, I have my cheesy icon. We can go ahead and change that if we want. Just I'll show you how I typically do it. Go into Paint. I'll go ahead into my desktop. Let me see here if I can open up some icon. Let me see, cool icons. Let's go. What do you think here? this guy. Go back here. Let's go like this. This is what I do when I'm at home alone at night. It's very, very sad. Okay, do that. Oh, that didn't work at all. Let's try that one more time. Let's do this, though. Another better way to do this, print screen. You know what's really cool? Is when you take 5 minutes to create an icon, and the rest of your app takes two. But I got to show you this, because you really want to create apps with really cool icons. Okay? It's the key. One more time. There we go. Perfect. Now what we do is this. And just so you know, Paint is actually free. Okay? And we can do this. I honestly didn't factor in this much time for an icon. But you know, I don't like... It's going to be freaky smiley face. We're going with this one. All right? Yes. Begrudgingly. Yes. All right. So here we go. Now we can go ahead and we can publish this guy. What this is going to do, it's going to package up our assemblies. It's going to create the app. Here we go. There's the dot app. All right. We can go here. We can go into our SharePoint site. Go here. Go site contents. Go new app to deploy. Actually, let's go before site contents. We'll click upload. I'm kind of giving the longhand version. Go here. There's our peeps in SharePoint, our app. See, just to prove that I can create a cool icon, I did this earlier on. You see how it says new? That means I did it today. So there is some proof in the pudding here that you can get it done. And basically, did that actually load? Let me just see if that looked like it redirected for some reason. SPC, new app to, there it is right there. So there's my Get Peeps client web part. And there it is there. Now, the interesting thing is if you actually, let's load that again. If you take a look at the URL, you can see that from left to right, we've got this SP host URL. Okay? That's basically configured for you behind the scene that points off to your Windows Azure app. Now, again, the reason this is vaguely interesting is because literally this is still living in a separate domain. And so I showed you that Contoso sales app before. I did the exact same thing here, and I just went page, edit, add a client web part, and I stuffed it in, right? So now you've got this container, effectively an iframe, that goes off into a separate domain that pulls this back. But you can do some interesting things here, right? Here's my sales data. You know, this is the Peeps app, kind of. I already pre-built this, so this is kind of showing you what it would look like if I loaded it in. And so you can style it. I mean, this is just using the basic team site styling. So some interesting stuff you can do there. And of course, for Silverlight, for the WCF service I built earlier, that's going out and it's getting data. Isn't that cool? All right. So overwhelmingly underwhelmed. So let's go back to the slides. And now we're going to talk about auto-hosted. Here's where things get a little more interesting. Okay? So here, I'm going to have a SharePoint site. I'm going to show you a couple different examples, one with an in-memory object, one with reading list using the underscore API. And I'm going to go ahead, and it's going to be calling this thing called default.aspx, which is automatically deployed into Azure. But the interesting thing here is you'll see in both cases I have this OAuth token. Now, again, remember I told you before the OAuth token is very important. You have to really think about this when you're building apps, because you'll see that it's not just about loading that OAuth token at the top of my app and expecting it to follow the app wherever the app goes. We're talking about page loads. We're talking about session state, right? So you have to make sure as developers you're aware of how you're managing that token. Okay? But fortunately, there's lots of things in ASP.NET that you can use to manage that token. All right? So this is that was the very high-level architecture. Let's jump over and actually go ahead and build one of these guys. Okay? Oh, I get sad looking at that. All right, let's get out of here. Go ahead, fall new project. Let's go down here and let's create just a solution. My SharePoint solution. Okay. And we're going to add a SharePoint project to this. Okay. New project. We'll say Office Apps, Apps for SharePoint, My Sales App. Okay. Click OK. Auto-hosted again. Remember, we're configuring the site, configuring the name, and we're configuring it auto-hosted, which is the default. All right. I'm going to set this up. Now, a couple things again. I'm going to click on my sales app and show you a couple things. Down here on the right-hand side, this, to me, is very, very cool for developers. Okay? So if I call out these two things right here, very, very important. I don't necessarily have to stick to the native default ASP.NET MVC app or whatever it is that SharePoint creates for me. Don't worry, you're not restricted. I know you guys kind of feel claustrophobic if we give you a project template and say, that's all you get. No, basically what you can do is you can add another web app, and when you click on the properties of the dot app, the SharePoint app, you can actually tie them back, okay? And I'll show you that in a bit, but first of all, we'll do the default one here. So here you have the default. Okay, let's go ahead and go into My Sales App, and we'll add, let's see, we'll add a new class, we'll call it sales, and let's see here, public class. So this is going to be our class, going to be very simple, three properties, an ID, a quarter, and total sales. Okay, we'll go into our defaults, and we'll replace the form here as well. Let me see here, we will add that with our, this guy there. And so basically what's going on here is just a fancy data grid with a link button, and some hard-coded data in a table, HTML5 table, okay? Nothing too fancy. But what we will do is we'll go back and replace the code here in the page load. I'll go here and replace that. And then we'll do one more just while we're here, and I'll walk through it, okay? So first of all, again, in the spirit of in-memory, just keeping things simple, you've got a couple things going on. At the top, you've got something called a SharePoint context token and an access token. So think of a context token as helping give the token or context for the user, access token for the app, but they kind of get munged together in this OAuth world, and SharePoint knows what to do with it, right? Rob Howard's the fat brain on here, so you want to talk to how these things come together. And then you can see as we go through page load, this is where OAuth comes in, but this is an Azure app. It's an app that's living in Azure in a separate domain, even though it's a special Windows Azure Office 365 domain. It's living in that domain, but still able, through this token helper, which is basically SharePoint's version of OAuth, it allows to talk back and has access. And you can see we're saying trust all certificates, right? We're a trustworthy bunch. And then, of course, you get all this stuff here, like the SharePoint host URL. Key, though, is this guy here. I don't know if you can see this, the link get sales data. That is my link button. You have to make sure that your controls, the command arguments, are at least, you know, attached in some way, shape, or form to OAuth, to these access tokens. Otherwise, they won't work. What will happen is when you try and do that, you'll get this null value return. The null value return is the fact that there's no access token associated with your control. Okay? You'll see it. I know you will. I saw it 10 times before I figured out what it actually was. Okay? So just know you'll see that. And, of course, when we go into the link get sales data click, you guys have created classes, I'm sure, popular those classes with properties. I'm not even going to go into that. But the most important thing is at the top there. When you call that particular method, you have to make sure that, again, you associate the sender information command argument with the access token. They're bound, okay? Otherwise, you're going to get a null error back to you, okay? So at this point, now that I've got your trust on how to build icons, I'm going to move beyond that. We're going to build the solution. We'll go ahead and we will, let's see, did it build properly? Yes, built properly. We'll go ahead and publish it. We'll say click finish. And the package started. Now, I'm not going to go through the process again. What I will do is go over here because I've already deployed it, and you've seen me do that once. I'll go into site contents. And where is it? No, it's not. So the question was, is the context token, and I'm assuming you're talking about client context, client-side object model. No, I mean, it's similar in that you have to establish a connection to SharePoint. But basically, think of it as an OAuth token. That's what it is. I'll walk through and debug my final demo, and you'll actually see what one looks like. They're ugly, big things, like big, you know, nasty-looking caterpillars with lots of letters and numbers in them. Basically, it's an OAuth token, though. Okay, and you'll see it when I go through it again. So we'll go ahead and click SharePoint Sales, and this is where now we can go ahead and click Get Sales. Now, the thing what's happening with Get Sales, again, it's a very simple app, but when I hit Get Sales, it said, hey, SharePoint knows who I am. Even though I'm coming from the Azure domain and I'm coming through, it knows who I am, and it'll allow me to execute that method. Okay, a very important pattern. You will replicate that over and over and over again, okay? All right, cool. So let's jump back. I'm actually going to open up an existing project I have. Let me see here. I think this is it here. Read list from web. And this is where we start to get into, okay, I had an isolated method that needed a token. This is an auto-hosted app that now is trying to read items. And you can see here, basically the same pattern. I created an auto-hosted app, you know, deployed it. But what I'm doing here is instead of my link button, instead of kind of just creating some in-memory object from the class, I'm actually going ahead and I'm using this guy here, this underscore API. And this is where many of you who have probably been using the server-side object model or client-side object model, or maybe even the SOAP services, God forbid if you wanted to, you know, you love Camel and you can't just get enough of it. Here is where what you're doing is you're starting to use the underscore API, okay? And this is kind of the new way, the consolidated API, but still. Please turn your phones off. Sorry about that. It's my wife calling me. So this is the new way to do APIs. But the key thing here is as we look down, again, it's not just about, you know, it's not just about our controls having to need that access token. It's about the APIs as well, okay? So always remember, you will get this time and time again when you're kind of beginning to learn about how Azure and these different domain apps come and fit into SharePoint. You'll have to remember about that access token, okay? And what this looks like when we deploy this, if we go back here and say read list from web, it again is fairly simple. We go in, it's working on it, get data. That uses that API to go through and grab a bunch of the elements inside of our list inside of SharePoint. Okay? So those are a couple auto-hosted apps. And I'll get back to a couple other things here. But now I want to talk about provider-hosted. Again, I don't think there's too many people this week talking about this, and I think there's a lot of power in provider-hosted app because this is where you begin to tap into the full capabilities of Windows Azure, right? Like I said before, it could be a website, could be a cloud service, could be SQL database, could be any number of different things. So here you can see I've got this Azure app. It's a SharePoint list. You know, I'm going to go out and grab this applicant data, and you're going to see me have OAuth tied in there as well, okay? I'm going to show you a couple different things. So let's jump back over and kind of walk through the demo. Before I do this, any questions, though, on what I finished up before? I just want to make sure. Yes, sir. Correct.
Okay. And provider hosted, that just means it's Azure, but more for featured Azure.
Yes, that's correct. The question is, and I think it was just mine, you know, reiterating for his own benefit, auto-hosted is a version of Azure specific to Office 365, yes. Provider hosted is a broader access of Azure, yes. But you are, the key point there is you're actually managing the own hosting, your own hosting of that Azure app at that point, okay? So, no. The question is, does it have to be Azure? In the auto-hosted, yes, because you don't own that. In the provider-hosted, no. Right? And if you go and kind of get started with Windows Azure, you'll see that there's PHP apps that you can build. There's an SDK there, so you can build all sorts of apps. The interesting thing is, like I said before, what this opens up is for you to begin building some really interesting apps like, you know, MVC4, HTML5, jQuery. These are new tools in the SharePoint Developer Toolkit that you'll be learning with 2013. Okay. Before I get too ADD here, I wanted to finish off on one thought. If I go back, I don't really want to open my mail. If I go back, click yes. I'm just going to show you just a very quick pattern here. I'm going to click OK. I'm going to select auto-hosted for just a sec, and then go back and do a couple of things. And this is where what I mentioned before, how you can kind of substitute. You don't have to select the default web app. I can go here, kill this guy, remove it. Yep. And let's go ahead and, I don't know, add a new project. And we say web, and I want to be really cool and add an MVC4 project. I can say internet application. There's a couple things that we can do here as soon as it adds. And I don't know if you can see this down the bottom. It's adding all of the, you know, knockout JS, all of the different libraries to the project. The last thing I'll do here is I'll one other thing, the new project, and that's in other project types, I think. SQL Server, here we go. Add a SQL Server database project. Because what the auto-hosted project needs, it needs some sort of data entity and sort of web app if you're going to deploy. And basically what you do is you go down here into View Properties. Okay. Let's go down here. I'll expand this a little bit. See if I can open this up so you can see at the back. Can you guys see the back? And here I can go my database. I want it to be database 1. And we'll say yes. All that says is kind of packaging this thing up so it knows it's conformant to SQL Azure, and then MVC application. And this is going to add some of the assemblies I would need to make this ready to be my auto-hosted app. So the point is, you're not relegated. We'll go into much greater detail on this particular pattern on Thursday afternoon, so if this is something interesting to you, you can definitely use this. Yep?
Are there any certificate requirements difference between auto-hosted and
provider hosted? Is there any the different certificate requirements between auto-hosted and provider-hosted? That's an excellent question. And the answer to the question is, it depends, okay? So let me take you through a couple things. So first of all, if I go back into my Windows Azure portal, right? And if I go back to, let's say I go back to my websites. I want to show you here, I had my TechReady 15 or my TR15 website. It'll come up in a second. When I build an Azure website, it's automatically SSL, right? I have an HTTPS endpoint. So I can go here and say HTTPS, not there. Let's do it at the front. Here we go. All right. And so you either have HTTP or HTTPS. I love this feature because you guys know how much of a pain in the neck it is to create a root store certificate that's trusted and uploaded and blah de blah de blah de blah. And if you haven't done it yet, you're going to love to hate it, okay? Now here, this gives you the option of having a website that's HTTPS. Now the great thing is, if I have a provider-hosted, you know, cloud service or website that's HTTPS, Office 365 natively supports those certificates, okay? Awesome, nice conversation between the two in terms of certificates. The only caveat I will add there, native support right out of the box for websites, for cloud services, you have to prep your own HTTP endpoint, right? HTTPS endpoint, which means you do a couple things. You create your WCF service, step one. You get your trusted certificate, step two. And you deploy it and upload it inside of your service on Azure, step three, such that you now have an HTTPS endpoint. Many of you have probably done this before. And there's a few battle scars, I'm sure, from certificates. We all have them. But that's the general process. So both are supported, but the thing is, just make sure you get like a trusted root certificate that is conversant with 065. All the major ones are, GoDaddy, all that, they're all trusted, okay? Does that answer your question? Great. So jumping back to here, we had our SharePoint app. I think it was this guy here. I'm pretty sure it was this guy. Yes, it was here. And there's a couple little things you need to tweak in this. Like there's a couple little, there's a filter that the SharePoint product group is going to come out to help you kind of have a controller that points automatically to the SharePoint data context. Because again, you can't access the database in Windows Azure in the 0365 version. But again, we'll talk about that a little more on Thursday. So let's kill this. Let's kill this guy here. I'm going to go back into a project and open up what I believe will be the final project here. So my provider hosted app. And I believe, is it this one here? Or this guy here? Go back. Just give me a sec here to get sorted. Yeah, I'm going to show you this one. So let's get into the views, home. No, that's not the one. Sorry. Shout out any questions while I'm just looking for this last one here. Is this it here? Okay, I've lost my way a little bit here. Okay, I'm gonna create one from scratch. So if we go back into Visual Studio, click yes. We'll have this provider hosted project file. We're gonna go ahead and go back up here into new project, Visual Studio. Here we go, apps. All right, create a new one. This time we'll select provider hosted. We'll click next. Now you have an option here. You can use a client secret or use a certificate, right? Now if you're testing your own provider hosted app, you can go through the process and very simply create a certificate. The way in which you do this, if we go back to our slides for just a second, I'll show you here at the other side of this demo, that you can use this appregnew.aspx. Has anybody used this page yet? This is basically if we go back into our SharePoint site, this allows me to create, let's go here into SharePoint, go back here into layouts, 15, appregnew. .aspx. This allows me to actually create a client ID and secret. When you're building a provider-hosted app, there's a little more kind of rigor around the security aspects, especially because you're coming from a separate domain. Okay? So here you can see, well, I'm going to go ahead and generate an app ID, and that will do it for me. I'll generate an app secret. I'll say, test app. I'll say design, in this case, the provider-hosted app might be something we've already deployed into Windows Azure. Let's go over here. We can use this guy here, simply put, for simplicity. And we'll take that away. Okay, and we'll go here. And you just need those four or five things to get yourself started, and you click create, and that will create invalid. Oh, we'll try that. That should work. There we go. And so now you've got this registered with your site such that you can build this provider-hosted app, deploy it, and it works. Okay? But the thing is, like any other like auto-hosted app, you still need that kind of token that you have inside of the code so it can talk back to your SharePoint app, okay? So here we can go back to my site. Let's go start page. I'm just going to use it that I've already created it. So I'm going to have to manually create it. That's basically what I'm telling the project right now. Create the project. And I'll go back here and just grab the stuff and the app ID. Basically needs to end up in the web.config, okay? Right there. Now, it gives you a client secret by default. I always grab the one that it gives me just to make sure there's some synchronization there. And again, here we go. That's that app there, okay? So that's the big thing there. But anything really at this point, this is, you could replace your own web here. I could put another, you know, cloud app. I could deploy it into Azure. It could be any number of things. As long as the web.config has those settings in, and, you know, inside of my events, I'm taking care of the access tokens and the OAuth connections back into SharePoint, I can do any number of things, okay? And that's as simple as it gets. Then basically what you do is you can publish this guy, and then you can basically create a new publish. My provider app. Click next. And then this is where our endpoint is hosted, which is here. Okay. And then you go and grab your client ID. A little bit of copy and paste. So Notepad in this case is probably your friend. Client ID and client secret. Okay. And then I click next and it would publish it for me, okay? And again, you know, I could go and show you all the code, you know, inside of that, but I think you get the point. The point is you have an app, an Azure app, ASP.NET, MVC, whatever it is. You can deploy it and do some cool things with it, and then you can push it into SharePoint using this specific method. And you have to make sure, again, all those OAuth tokens are there. If you have any events, they allow you to kind of go cross-domain. And so far, I mean, we're fairly new, and I haven't done a ton of coding with this, but the tokens I'm using in a fairly similar patterned way, okay? We're coming up on the end here, so I don't want to take too much more time. Like I said, we'll do a lot more of this. The one thing I will show you here is this guy here. This is my guestbook app. I actually wrote this with the pattern that I showed you before, where I actually took my own guests. I took an auto-hosted app. I ripped the web off, added my own database, added my own kind of, you know, front-end web app, and then I deployed it. And literally, the one thing I did do different here is you can see if we go inside of my MVC app, inside of the views, inside of index, it's just like any other app that you would create. Super simple, straightforward. If we go back into SharePoint, go back into SPC, it looks and feels just like any other app. Where is it here? My guestbook app. The nice thing here is I've actually wrapped a Chrome control around it. So even though it lives in Azure, breathes in Azure, it still has access to my SharePoint site through my OAuth, but now basically is operating against a database that at least I have some control over. Jane Doe, JD. Create. So this is great. The control and you know, for those of you who have built MVVM apps, MVC apps, it's so much quicker. You know, the Razor type UI takes a little bit of getting used to if you're used to ASP.ASPX, but it is what it is. So kind of going through that quick, just for the sake of time there, you know, again, we will be doing more on Thursday afternoon. You can see this URL because it's not just about using AppRegNew. There's PowerShell and other things that you can use as well, okay? So check out that URL to get more information. Sorry, I'll keep that up there for just a second. So you can get more information on how you can programmatically create those client IDs and secrets. I'm going to close up by saying there's a lot of tokens in SharePoint 2013, and they all have various meanings. You saw me use a couple whether or not you realized it. If I go back into my SharePoint site here, let's go back into this guy, and view the code inside my app XML. You'll see here that there's a number of different tokens that we use. One here, specifically, you'll see a lot of is the standard token. Remember I showed you the URL earlier on in the session where I had, you know, blah-de-blah-de-blah, question mark, you know, and then this other token that was pointing off? Basically, these standard tokens allow you to kind of take the SP host URL. You know, that's going to be a session, basically the URL from your SharePoint site. It's going to kind of plug that in. It allows you to factor in and kind of build these URLs just from a token standpoint. And so here you can see I've got my Azure URL pointing off into a separate domain, and I'm using the tokens to basically pre-build that URL. So you'll see that a lot. There's tons of tokens. All right, URLs don't get any prettier in 2013, so if that's what you thought, you'll have to wait till the next version. But good thing is it's only 90 days away. So I don't know if we have time for the last demo. We're sitting at about 4:23, and I want to be respectful for I think there's another thing in here. But let me just open it up here and see if I can get it going. Any questions while I'm doing this? Yes. I only heard the first part of that question. Can you speak up just a little bit? Yeah. If you want to back them up and restore them. So basically, Microsoft takes care of that for you. The question is, if I have my own Office 365 sites, how does that work, and can I back them up and restore them? Basically, Microsoft does take care of that for you. There are third-party partners out there who are doing some of that today, so they can actually do that for you. If you want to come talk to me afterwards, I'll actually point you towards. I don't know who asked the question. It was generally over there. Come and talk to me afterwards. I'll point you to one. Okay. So this is my final demo. Kind of brings together the world of SharePoint and Azure in a very simple way. Here, basically, what I've done is I've built out a service. I'm going to pantomime the demo. Basically, this is a service that's running in Azure. I've built and deployed a service. And you can see that here is my SharePoint site. Okay, it's a team site, and I've got, you know, the quick launch. It looks and feels like a part of SharePoint. Now, basically what this app is all about is, hey, you know, I want to build an app that I can use on a phone. And this service is equally accessible on a phone as it would be in my SharePoint browser, as it would be in a web app. Okay, you've got the conversance or the, you know, the reusability factor. And basically this is called My Town App. You can go ahead and submit, you know, a request for the town to take care of problems for you. So for example, if you happen to live beside this guy, that could be considered a problem to some, to others maybe not. That's an actual house, by the way. This is another problem that someone submitted. There was a car on the side of the street. Right? The point is, we can go ahead and this, as we edit it, it looks and feels like it's a part of SharePoint, tied together using either BCS or just kind of service to you know, list capabilities. Here you can see I'm actually interacting with Azure. I can save and edit and all that good stuff. And yet, this is basically being served up from Azure. Now, the interesting thing is, and what I want to show you here, it's not just about SharePoint. The guys before us here, I don't know if you caught the tail end of what they were talking about. Basically, what they're talking about is it's, you know, this idea of building thin client apps for Office web apps. And so we can take this service, and just like we could use it in the context of a phone app, we can also use it in the context of an Outlook web app as well. So here we go. Here's My Town. And that was basically just a thin client browser control, and it's calling the exact same service. The nice thing here is you could think of, hey, I've submitted a request. I want to get, you know, some status report on where that request is at. It's taking information from inside the mail and actually serving up those requests that I submitted. All right? So there's some intelligence that you can build in, you know, in a much richer way between Azure and SharePoint and Office. And then again, this idea of reusing that website and service across multiple places is a very, very important one. Okay? So I'm glad I got a chance to show you that without getting thrown out. So last slide, summary. So yeah, it's natively supported. I showed you a number of different things. We'll go much, much deeper on Thursday. If this is something that's interesting you, please let me know and we'll get you in that workshop. You know, we talked about auto-hosted and provider-hosted. Really, at the end of the day, the big difference is what I showed you, how you register that provider-hosted app. The OAuth goo in between, you still have to register that. And cross-domain, it's fairly similar. Okay? And provider-hosted apps do go beyond Azure, but you can tap into much wider capabilities. So, for example, if you built a WCS service or, basically a custom database, I could access that in the context of my provider-hosted app and bring that into SharePoint. Of course, I showed you the underscore API, and you will find that you will use not only underscore API, but you'll probably, if you're familiar with the CSOM, you can continue to use the client context, as you probably, the gentleman back there, was asking about. So lots of different APIs to allow you to interact with SharePoint from Azure. I think this is, you know, when I think back 2 years and what I was talking about then, you know, Azure and SharePoint were distinct. You could integrate them because of the richness of the APIs in SharePoint and Azure, but they were still distinct. Now, they're natively integrated, and it's a much better story. So I think it's exciting. For those of you here, you know, the journey to Azure is a very interesting one. What I would do is I would chip away at it. If I were to work down the tree of learning, Azure websites would be my first stop. That's the first thing I would learn. The second thing I would learn is cloud services. Okay, learn those two, and you'll be a pretty far along way to understanding a lot of the PaaS capabilities in Azure. All right? If you have any questions, you can reach out to me. My team does a lot of training. We're plugged into the DPE guys and all sorts of things. And again, if you want more, we're going to go a lot deeper than we did today. Probably no slides, just going to show you code walkthroughs on Thursday, and we'll have post-con workshop that runs from 2 o'clock till 5. Okay? I'll hang out for questions for a couple minutes, but if nothing else, I really appreciate your time and enjoy the rest of the week.